Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you had opportunity to join me last week, and you're aware my very special guest, friend, and ministry partner of many, many years was Carol Wagstaff. Carol is the founder of Living Stones Ministries based in Glendora, California. And I'm very pleased to share with you this morning that Carol is joining me once again. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Philip.
We're going to largely pick up where we left off last week because we ran out of time much too quickly. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
All right.
That's great.
Let's start where I think we really should begin, because where we've arrived today, we are so far removed now from the crisis we have faced, and the crisis we face today being homosexuality. Mm-hmm. I would submit the real crisis we face today is the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of Scripture.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, right here at the beginning of our conversation, have you ever been able to find even one scripture in God's Word that validates homosexual practice?
I have not, and I have looked. I don't even see anything it implies that it is right in God's sight.
Yes.
So I agree with you. There is nothing in Scripture that approves of it.
Well, like you, I have searched and searched myself to find even one scripture that hints at homosexual practice being okay with God.
Yes.
But what I have found repeatedly in both the Old and the New Testament, every time without exception that homosexuality is mentioned, it is always mentioned in the context and the frame of a behavior not unlike many others that God says, don't go there.
Yes.
And there are no exceptions. So really, it's impossible to validate homosexual practice from Scripture. Now, you would think case closed, wouldn't you?
Yes. But that's not true.
And yes. Not at all today.
We wish that it was. But, you know, I think part of that is our ignorance of Scripture. Our lives are so full these days that it's hard for people to really spend time in Scripture, and they tend to interpret it the way they think they want to interpret it, or listen to people that they know will agree with their opinions. But I have not found it to be true at all. In fact, I've seen several times in Scripture where sexual brokenness, not just homosexuality, Philip, but heterosexual brokenness, transgenderism, that kind of stuff, is all called idolatry.
Yes, yes.
And it takes the place of God in our lives. And that makes even more sense to me, because what I see so often with people that get involved in homosexuality, or even transgender,
mm-hmm.
that it gets to be an addiction. They cannot give it up once they get into it.
Yes.
And so God knew that in us. He implanted that in us somehow, that would happen. So He said, stay away from it. Stay away from it.
Yes.
And, oh, I've seen that borne out in so many young people's lives. They think they want to at least try it, Philip, and I just discourage them from even trying it, because there is just a pattern that begins to be set up,
yes,
in their lives, and it causes addiction and continual behavior in this. And then when they think they might want to turn around their lives, it's very difficult to do so.
Yes.
So that's what I see is in my experience.
In terms of Scripture also, it's very important that we share with everyone that God says change is possible.
Yeah.
Now, the world is saying just the opposite.
Yeah.
But as Christians, meaning we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all, which includes what God has to say about his divine intent for human sexuality,
yeah.
God has a lot to say in his word about certain behaviors that are not okay with him.
Yes.
And it's not just homosexuality. And thank you for bringing up the whole realm of heterosexual sexual sin, which includes sex before marriage, habitual adultery, addiction to pornography.
Yes.
It's not just homosexuality.
That's right. It is. And I think the reason God knew that is because he knew what it would do to us, Philip.
Yes, yes.
And so he does it out of his love for us and his desire to protect us that he says, stay away from these things. And that has become more and more apparent to me the longer that I go, is that God understood how that would mark us and how that would shame us over time. And I think about the people that I met that have been in homosexuality and wish they had never gotten there. I remember the story of a girl particularly who lived in homosexuality for 40 years and then regretted because she had gone past the time where she could marry and have children and had moved on beyond that, and her whole life was skewed by her decision to live in a lesbian lifestyle for so many years. And so you go, there's a lot of regret over that. So
yes.
I'm thinking that somehow another thing that we need to impress on people that struggle with this is that give God time in your life. Give him your life. Follow him. Sacrifice your feelings
yes.
about this.
Yes.
And allow God to guide you so that you won't have regrets later on in life.
You know, of the many, many men and women that I know around the world that have successfully transitioned, if you will,
yeah.
out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction, I do not know of one man or one woman being able to do that apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. I think that's really true, Philip. I think there are psychologists who deal in this issue, but I think it needs to involve a heart change, Philip. Not just a psychological change, but a heart change.
Yes.
And we have to accept who God is in our lives and to accept his love. I think for people who are truly broken in the area of sexuality, they struggle with really believing that God loves them for whatever reason, Philip. It may be a lack of bonding. It may have something to do with sexual abuse or something like that, but they have struggle with understanding who God really is and what God really wants for them.
And he doesn't hate them because of what they're struggling with.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, I remember one of the gals I dealt with who had lived in a lesbian lifestyle for over 20 years, and she felt like God was a bully because he didn't allow her to be lesbian. But it went back to her perspective on her parents and what had happened to her
mm-hmm.
as a child growing up. And it's amazing how much our backgrounds impact our
yes.
perceptions of
yes.
God.
Yes, I know in my own life, because as I shared with you, you know this all too well, that my parents divorced when I was about 2.5, 3 years old.
Yes.
And during those formative years, I did not have any male influence in my life whatsoever. And ultimately, I came to realize that my starvation, if you will, for male attention, took me down some pathways in life that were anything but healthy.
Yeah.
But when you and I, when any of us have a need, there's a void or a deficit in our lives, we are all going to go look into something or someone
yeah.
trying to get that need met. And for yeah. some of us, it took us down the path of same-sex attraction.
Yes, yes. And so it's not that much different than other issues, Philip. I think about people who are addicted to food or alcohol or drugs or whatever. It's the same premise.
Yes.
That elicits that behavior. So it's a difficult issue, definitely.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Carol, and I'm just going to point blank throw this out for our conversation.
Okay.
Do people choose to be gay?
No. Not in my experience. Now, I have to say there was one exception. A young man, I had been called by a pastor locally where our ministry was, and he said, I have a young man here who I'd like for you to meet and talk with. So I went to talk with him, Philip, and he did say, after talking at length, he said, you know, I have a man who's interested in me, and he said, I get asked all the time if I'm gay. Now, this was a young man, probably in his late teens. He was a very small guy. He was shorter than I. I was 5'6", so he was maybe 5'4", 5'3", very slight of structure. So physically, he was not a big guy. And he was asked all the time if he was gay. So he said, I think I'm just going to be gay.
You know,
and fulfill that prediction of what he was going to be. Sadly, I don't know whatever happened to him, and my heart's been broken for that, that he would pursue that, thinking that that was the answer to the fact that he was not a typical male that was maybe buff or whatever, like guys seem to think they need to be.
Yes.
But so I have seen that that's a possibility, that someone would follow that. But generally speaking, no. I don't think so.
And I can speak to this from my own personal journey. I mean, I did not go after having an issue of same-sex attraction. In other words, I became aware of my homosexual tendencies. But let me speed forward a little bit, a few years of my own life. At the age of 18, I did make a conscious choice to embrace, clothe myself in, and walk in the gay identity.
Yeah.
And they're very, very different.
Yes, that's right.
When you buy into the gay identity, you're buying into a total identity package, and there in itself, it can trap many men and women in for many years of struggle.
That's right, Philip. That's really true. And I think that's why it's so important to tell parents, don't move into closing the door.
Right.
Because there is that period of time, and I think in my experience, I saw that it would be sometimes up to the age of 17, 18 before there was a real fixed idea or determination that this is what I'm going to be. But so often they couldn't get the help early on from the early teens up until their late teens. They had no one to tell them, no, you don't have to be this way. This is not who you really are.
Yes, exactly.
But God can help you with it. But you're so right, Philip. There is a point in which we make a decision. And part of it comes, I remember another family where a mother talked and she perceived that her son was struggling even, and I think he mentioned to her when he was maybe 12 or 13 that he was struggling. And by the way, Philip, I found in the kids that I've dealt with that was a very common age bracket, the junior high age, where they begin to question and talk about that. And he had done that with his mom, and she had gone to the church, and the church didn't have any answers. And there was no one that was out there to seemingly help her. So when he got to his late teens, early 20s, he made up his mind. He was tired of trying. Mm. He was going to move into the gay lifestyle, and that's what he was going to be. And what a heartbreak that was for me to hear, because there was not the help out there at that time as there is now.
Mm. And I so relate once again. I was around the age of 13 years old when I became acutely aware of my own battle with same-sex attraction, and I was terrified. The shame factor alone was huge.
Oh,
and you're absolutely right. Somewhere around the age 12, 13, I mean, hormones are being attacked, et cetera. I mean, you're all over the place.
Yes.
And if you don't have someone you can connect with for a source of encouragement and walk through with you through the process, boy, I'm telling you what, it's tough. I mean, really tough.
It really is. And then if you go to your parents and they don't know what to do with you,
right.
And then so you're lost. Kind of. And so it's really important to leave those doors open. Churches and pastors need to, and youth pastors in particular, need to leave that door open for kids to come to them.
And we don't have to have all the answers. I mean, you and I, we've been around the block a few times on this subject matter for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And we do have some expertise, but we don't have all the answers. But here's the twist.
Mm-hmm.
We do get to go with the person to the one who does.
That's right.
And his name is Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely.
Carol, you just wrote, or you have a new book coming out?
Yes. You know, my desire has been, because I worked with so many families and the shame factor is so great, I've had families who have not told even their immediate family about what was going on with them. Or churches are looking to develop small groups and they needed something as curriculum to work through. So that's what I've done. I've put together a series of lessons that really talk about the process, starting with the grief and understanding what's going on in your family, inside of you, what's happening in you, and what does God want to see happen, and how do we deal with this in the home. So we have written I call it an interactive book. It's called Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild, Hope for Families Impacted by Sexual Brokenness. And it should be on Amazon by the end of January, I understand.
Excellent. Excellent.
So I'm thinking it's something that a person can do on their own to work through these stages of grief, or they can bring together, and it's always better to have two or three people that are working through it together so you can share and pray together and hold each other up in prayer and your children. It's a wonderful way to build relationships and really turn to the Lord and keep each other strong in it.
Yes. Well, wonderful. I'm glad that you've completed the book and it will be out soon.
Yes. It's in process now. I think they're having it printed and published now. They're talking about the end of January. It should be on Amazon the end of January.
Excellent.
So hopefully then it can be available. It will be available through Living Stones. I will have copies here. If I have a P.O. box here, 89157 Tucson, Arizona, 85752. They can send me a request and I can forward a book to them then.
Or they can always contact His Way Out Ministries and we can forward them on to you.
Absolutely. That would be great.
Okay. Carol, let me ask you this. What about the statement today, I am a gay Christian? Now, between you and me and the lamppost, I just cannot get my head around that.
Oh, I cannot either, Philip. I just twinge when I hear that because it goes against everything in my relationship with God. If my sexuality, if any part of me is idolatry, then to say that I am a Christian and move in that realm is a denial of the reality of what's going on in my life. I believe that God has certain rules and regulations that He requires of us, and I so stick to that from Scripture, but I think even more than that, if we truly love God and really want to serve Him, then we have to deal with this.
Yes.
We cannot walk away from it and say, this is okay with God. I can't believe that, Philip.
Right. Where I struggle is when the person makes a statement, I am a gay Christian.
Yeah.
As Christians, our true identity is in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
So to put the word gay before Christian,
yes,
immediately tells me this individual is off course in life.
Absolutely.
We cannot allow our sexuality to define our true identity. Now, we are sexual beings.
That's
our
right.
Sexuality is a potent part of who we are. And really, our sexuality is a wonderful gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within His well-defined holy boundary lines.
Amen. Yes, that's really true, Philip. And I think it's also important to mention, and I remember hearing you talk about this, Philip, and it was so enlightening to me, that when a person is tempted with same-sex attractions, that is a temptation. That does not make him gay.
Right.
And I think it's so important to define that, because we will be tempted by many things in life.
And we don't get to choose that which we are being tempted by.
No, we don't. And they come up in the most unusual times in our lives. So it's so important to understand that part of life is we will be dealing with issues where we will be tempted.
Yes.
But we don't have to accept those as part of our identity.
Exactly.
I really believe that.
You and I, over these many years, we have experienced the challenge to, is change really possible for the homosexual?
Yeah.
And that has largely been challenged, I'd say more so here in America than it has abroad, because as you know, His Way Out Ministries has for years been heavily involved in ministry in South America and the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But today it seems, again, particularly here in America, change is possible? Really? Give me a break. But God says it is possible.
It is possible. And if if we compromise what God says in His Word, Philip, what else can we believe? If we don't believe what God says in His Word, and He says it over and over again, nothing is impossible for me.
Right, right.
And I do create change. And I think when there truly is a heart change in the life of a person, they want to serve God. They want to please Him. They want to do what's right. The thing is, I think that's difficult, Philip, is that sometimes we want it to happen overnight, and I see that a lot with parents.
Yes.
I've had parents, hope that their kids would change tomorrow,
yes,
and then they would be happy, but it's not like that, because it's taken a lot of years, experiences, thoughts, perceptions, so many things that have brought this about, that it takes some time to process all of that. Now,
yes,
I think we do make a decision, I think, as you did, Philip. I'm no longer going to entertain this. I'm no longer going to do this in my life. and they move in the right direction. And I think that's part of what needs to happen.
Yes.
But you know what? I also feel like it's been a real heartbreak to me to hear out there for so many years, this is the way that you're born.
Mm-hmm.
You're not born this way. You are not born with these desires.
It is, absolutely.
Nothing has been proven that that's true. So if that's the truth, then what is it that we can do to take a look at this and see what is it that developed that created this, and what does God want to do to change it? And for the parents, that's a very much important part of that as well.
And isn't it amazing, with all that we know today about homosexuality, we still have many men and women, including Christian men and women, that have bought into the lie, born that way. That, first and foremost, contradicts Scripture.
It does.
And to date, even science has not conclusively been able to prove that there is a gay gene, that homosexuality is inborn.
Yes.
I have said for the past 25 years, we're talking about an acquired behavior, and acquired behavior can be unacquired. But you know what I've noticed with regard to same-sex attraction? There is a level of surrender to this particular form of brokenness, to see it resolved in an individual's life, that many today are simply unwilling to offer. And I also believe this, that here, especially in America, with a very long list of various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors, we want our deliverance microwaved.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't happen overnight, well, God must want me this way, so I'll just celebrate it. Hold it. Wait. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. It's just heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking. But I think it's sort of part of this wave of the culture now that nobody wants to commit to anything.
Mm.
You know, it's just sort of a neutral kind of position. Then I don't have to commit to something. Then I don't have to stand behind it or live it or whatever. And I think that's sort of part of our culture.
We're disregarding absolute truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so important to look at the people who have lived lives submitted to Jesus Christ and to see the way God has blessed them and brought about incredible joy in their lives and incredible families, so many things like that, because they have made that commitment. I think of Billy Graham, for example, who went through a period of time that really questioned his faith, but he made a very firm commitment that he was going to choose to serve God.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of this whole journey, and it's really holiness is where it is, I think, Philip.
Yes.
We talk about that holiness is really fully committed to our Lord.
And holiness is progressive. It doesn't happen in our lives overnight.
Absolutely.
It's ongoing. And I've shared this principle with so many men and women, and I will continue to do so. We are all in process.
Yes,
you start talking about process, we're talking about an element of time.
Yes.
And what I have come to understand and embrace is this process that I'm in is going to continue to either I go home to be with Jesus or he comes back to get me.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
I'm doing my best to relax and enjoy the journey.
You and I talked a little bit about, we both know how much we still need to change.
Let's not go there right now, okay? I want to ask you one more question before we do run out of time.
Okay.
Is the ultimate goal for the homosexual heterosexuality?
I would say no. I think because there is this process. Who knows what God has in mind? I think Scripture doesn't say you have to be married. In fact, it honors the single person.
Yes, it does.
And I think it's important to realize, what is it that God wants for me and has for me? I've seen people who have been homosexual and have gone, you know, years till they actually found a mate, someone that they did marry, and it was a good thing for them. But I think they were willing at that point to remain faithful to God, even in their singleness. And I think that's the whole concept of our faithfulness to God is part of that. It doesn't mean that we have to be single or have to be married.
Yes.
But to live a life worthy of the calling of Christ is so important. And that's what I would say in all of this, that maybe God does have that for you down the line. But it doesn't mean that you have to be there to prove that you're not gay anymore. And I think that's sometimes I see that in the LGBT culture, that they're saying, oh, well, if you were truly heterosexual, you'd be married by now. But that's not true.
You know, Carol, I have lost count of how many times sharing in a church or a conference, sometimes even at a Living Stones conference, someone, after the workshop is completed, will pull me aside and say, are you married?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know where that's coming from. And so I give them kind of a heads up. And the heads up is this. A wedding ring on the finger does not mean everything is okay.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I would submit the ultimate goal for the homosexual is the ultimate goal for all faithful followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal is God the Father.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I would also submit, I encourage men and women today, do you know that it's God's will that he wants you to get married? Mm-hmm. Go to God and get an answer for that first and foremost, and then mm-hmm. say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you to send him or her in the pathway of my life, whatever the case may be, and wait until that individual comes in the pathway of your life before you launch out into marriage. Mm-hmm. Because heaven knows today the divorce rate is off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, and I think part of our struggle as human beings is I want to know what God wants for me right now. It has been my experience that I don't often know, Philip, that I go along thinking one way and thinking this is what is God's will for me or what I think should happen. And I find that God doesn't necessarily follow my plans. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. That God has his way of revealing his will to us as we go along. And it doesn't, we don't often get to know right up front.
Yes.
As to what he wants. So to be remain open to God and to keep walking in his will, in his way, so that we're ready to receive whatever he brings to us, I think is an important part of a process of walking with him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, my dear friend, it's been wonderful having you, not only this morning, but previously the week before as well. Mm-hmm. Would you please, before we run out of time, share the website address for Living Stones Ministries?
www.livingstonesministry, and that's a singular singular form, MINISTRY.org.
Excellent. And your book will be out the latter part of this month, January?
Yes, they're telling me it should be the end of January.
Okay, wonderful. And I'll look forward to getting a copy.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining me. Lord bless you and keep you.
You too,
for all those listening in. Please know that His Way Out Ministries remains dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister transformingly to those who struggle with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We continue to believe that restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like more information regarding His Way Out Ministries, please visit our website, which is hiswayout.com. At our website, you'll find a wealth of information, testimonies, educational videos, articles. Once again, all the information is there to enlighten you. Please feel free to download anything you see on our website for personal use or use in your church. Because again, our heart at His Way Out Ministries is to partner with the body of Christ, declaring loudly and boldly that through Jesus Christ, men and women can be set free from the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. Again, thanks so much for joining me. Until next week, same time, same station. Our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.